Good evening. Good to be with you. In our feast today of the Corpus Christi, or the Body and Blood of Christ, we have in our readings, of course, the three-year cycle. And so each year has a different focus, if you will, on what we're celebrating today or what we might look at and try to come to a little better understanding and appreciation of in our whole celebration today. Today we are in the B cycle reading, so we have a Gospel of Mark. I think the tone really of the focus of our readings today is taken from the first reading, where we are at Mount Sinai, and there's the establishment of this covenant between God and his people. And so you might have noticed that the word covenant is found in all of our readings today and multiple times. And so it invites us to focus on the covenant of the altar, or the covenant that we celebrate and we ratify every time we celebrate Mass. Now, the word covenant is not a common word in our vocabulary. We don't use it often, and it's not really understood. We tend to move towards contract and think in terms of contract, even though we might call it a covenant. You know, an example of this, if you live in a neighborhood that has a covenant, that's not a covenant at all, it's a contract, right? Just try painting your house purple and see what happens. Yeah. So covenant is more about a relationship. Our relationship with God and our relationship with each other when it comes to the covenant at this altar. The best example we have of a covenant in our own human experience, I would suggest, is marriage, the covenant of marriage. A wedding where a couple say, I do. To love unconditionally, to love each other in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, off into the unknown of the future, but journeying together and pledging their love. This is the covenant of marriage, and it is then therefore very much the covenant that we celebrate as well. Our first reading was chosen because it talks about the sealing of the covenant between God and humanity that takes place. And it's kind of an interesting, the ritual that is there. We've been a ritual people for so many years. But it says, he took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words of his. So aren't you glad we don't take blood and sprinkle it on you at Mass, right? We think of that as kind of being gross. But blood is important. We recognize, you know, if you give blood, it's the gift of life. Blood is a life force. We all, you know, need that blood in order to live. And then there's another meaning of blood in our lives, in our traditions. We talk about a blood relationship, right? Some of the most cherished bonds we have are family, where we share our blood with each other. And there are, of course, some social and even some legal ramifications of this as well. So blood and blood bonds is a part of our society, even though we don't deal with it quite the way the Hebrews did way back then. It's about our relationships. It's about a covenant. It went on, taking the book of the covenant, he read it aloud to the people, who answered, all that the Lord has said, we will heed and do. That's their version of saying, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, we will do it, right? The I do of a wedding is not so much I do, but I will do, right? Because it's focused on the future. So in our first reading, God makes this binding of covenant that seals in blood with the people. The ritual makes us blood sisters and brothers of God and of each other. The disciples then take communion with Jesus at the Last Supper, and this drew them into covenant. It's kind of ironic that before he really explains the covenant to them, he has them partake of the bread and the wine. In other words, they enter into this covenant, and it's only gradually they come to realize exactly what it is that they have entered into, which means their story is very much like ours, right? We gradually come to greater depth of understanding of what this Mass is all about. The disciples take communion with the Lord in their supper, and so they became family. They took, they ate, and they drank. And they'd be thinking about this Hebrew response that we just had before. All that the Lord has said, we will do. They would know that by heart, not realizing, of course, the challenge of just a few hours later, the good times, and then they quickly discovered the bad times, as we all do as well. Their story, it's our story. Like them, as we accept God's self-offering, we receive bread and we drink from the cup, and we commit ourselves to the unpredictable and future of carrying out Jesus' self-sacrifice, self-giving. We too offer our body and blood, everything we have, everything we are, as we work and wait for the fulfillment of the reign of God. So this feast is not just about what I believe about the bread and wine being transformed, but also who I am because I partake, who I become when I eat and drink. So it's about my transformation as well. Or as St. Augustine challenged, see who you are, become what you eat. Our communion in the body and blood involves everything we have and everything we are. With this communion, we repeat our own I do to the invitation to strengthen our blood bond with one another and with God, to the invitation to share in the very life of God. So as we strive to keep our part of the covenant, we can remain confident that it is possible because God not only remains with us as we celebrate here today, but continually draws us forward and more deeply into covenant love, into covenant bonds. Taking the book of the covenant, he read it aloud to the people who answered, all that the Lord has said and heed, we will do. These are our words each time we take and eat. It is the meaning of our amen. It's not just yes, I believe. It's yes, I will do. We have been invited into covenant love. And how we respond to all the good that has been given to us through Christ, being invited into covenant love is the greatest, huh? It's our only response, the only appropriate response is gratitude of thanksgiving, or in the Greek, Eucharist. And what is our response? Well, let us become what we eat, what we receive. Let us allow our lives to be taken, blessed, and broken, and given for others. That is what Eucharist does. The bread and wine are transformed so that we can be transformed. Now, it's no coincidence that Christians gathered throughout the world are properly referred to as the body of Christ. As St. Paul tells us, we are the body of Christ. Each of us is a part of it. Each of us, singularly transformed into what we receive, into love incarnate, brings about the transformation of the church into the very body of Christ on earth. So the solemnity of the body of Christ, Corpus Christi, is about transformation. The transformation of the bread and the wine, to be sure. But from that transformation flows our very own transformation, which ultimately transforms the church into Christ's presence on earth. Through this solemnity, we renew our commitment to this transformation. We renew our commitment to the Lord, really and truly present in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. And may we, like Jesus, become life for the world. Taking the book of the covenant, he read it to the people who answered, all that the Lord has said, we will heed and we will do. We know from the scriptures that the Hebrews and the apostles were kind of hesitant to be faithful to that promise. In the time of trial, in the time of decision, they oftentimes chose poorly. What will we choose? In good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. A covenant bond with God and all of humanity sealed in the body and blood of Christ.